Whether we are married or single, a parent or a child, our roles are part of God's big story of redemption. Today on Delight in the Word, we'll hear part two of a message titled, The Purpose of Christian Marriage. Pastor Paul Tauchus explains how our roles in marriage or singleness or family life are not an end in and of themselves. Rather, our roles fall within the larger mission of the church, the people of God, to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's turn now to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and discover how to align our expectations for singleness and marriage and parenting to God's redemptive purposes as we together delight in the Word.
You know, husbands, we make it more difficult for our wives to follow our leadership when we don't love them as Christ loved the church. They already struggle in their own heart because of the sinful heart within them that doesn't want to follow, just as men, we struggle to follow leadership and authority structures in our lives because of the sinfulness in our heart. But we make it more difficult for our wives to submit to the Lord by submitting to us when we don't love them as Christ loved the church. See how this is all part of God's sanctification for us. He says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. See, Jesus cares for us this way because we are members of his body. Why would you not take care of your own body? And so he says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And a man also loves his wife by cementing that bond in marriage and that essential step of severance. Verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then look at how he summarizes both roles into one verse in verse 33. Let each one of you love his wife as himself. So in other words, husbands, you already love yourself. Admit it. Now love your wife. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. So the roles are just summarized right there in one encapsulated truth. But hidden in the context is the purpose of marriage. Verse 32. Verse 32 is the key verse for interpreting this whole passage about marriage. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. What do you mean, Paul? You mean to tell me that all this time you haven't really been talking about marriage? You've actually been talking about redemption? You've actually been talking about Christ and the greatness of his love for his bride? Yes. Yes, Paul says, yes, that is what I've been saying. There is truth about marriage, yes. There are commands to the wife, commands to the husband, and these ought to be honored, and these ought to be obeyed, but they are to be honored and obeyed within the context of something that is infinitely greater. Jesus and his love for the church. See, it's not about you, husbands. Wives, it's not about you. It's not about your marriage. It's not about your family. It is about Jesus Christ and the glory that belongs to him because he is submitted to the Father to carry out the plan of redemption and to save sinners like you and like me. So what is Paul really saying? Paul is saying that the church came before marriage. You're saying, wait a minute, Paul, I thought the church was born in Acts 2. Yeah, yeah, it was. But it was born in the mind of God in eternity past. We know this because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And so in the mind of God, the plan of the glory of God being displayed through redemption needed, let's say needed, not in the sense that God needs anything, but that we need something, needed a visual illustration of this redemption. And God created it and called it marriage. And so he said, I'm going to give you all these visual illustrations, these little things running around to show you how much Jesus loves his bride, how much he loves sinners. So the purpose of marriage is to glorify God by becoming a reflection of the redemptive love of Christ. Now, why is that important to remember? Well, it's important to remember because you need to understand that the purpose of marriage is not your happiness. Ultimately. I mean, marriage is supposed to produce happiness. It's supposed to be part of the happiness equation. But some of you know it's not. Some of you know it has not been. Some of you have gone through indescribable pain connected to this thing called marriage. And some of you probably still are experiencing that. So this helps us in knowing that marriage wasn't created for us first and foremost. It is a blessing, it is a gift from God. It does meet certain needs. God created Eve because Adam needed a helper. But ultimately, your marriage is not about your personal fulfillment, satisfaction, and happiness. It is about glorifying God by showing the world how much Jesus loves sinners. So it's a mirror. That's where I get the word reflect from. It's a mirror. A reflection of the love of Jesus for sinners and the submissive faith of sinners who love him in return. See, that's the picture that's painted here. Jesus is the initiator of this relationship with sinners, and our responsibility before God is to respond in submissive faith to him. And that then forms a relationship that ends up being forever. That's the marriage that lasts forever. Our earthly marriages will not last forever. They will not even exist in heaven. But all the redeemed, the Bible says, will gather one day at what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is the most phenomenal wedding reception you will ever go to. And there, all the redeemed sinners will come to eat with the Savior. And so our earthly marriages are called by God to reflect that. That's the purpose of marriage, to glorify God by becoming a reflection of the redemptive love of Christ. Well, now let's look at the purpose of parenting in chapter 6. So the purpose of marriage is to glorify God by becoming a reflection of the redemptive love of Christ. Point number 2, the purpose of parenting is to glorify God by becoming a vehicle for the redemptive truth of Christ. A vehicle for the redemptive truth of Christ. Look at how Paul teaches here in chapter 6. He starts with the responsibility of the children, and then he ends with the responsibility of the parents, and in particular, fathers. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. See that phrase, in the Lord, as to the Lord? It's always connected to the Lord. These commands are always somehow connected to the overflow of a relationship that you have with Christ. See, that's why, husbands, you and I can never, ever, ever become the husbands that God calls us to be without the Lord, without a living, breathing, personal relationship with the Lord, without growing in Him. And wives, the same is true of you. You can't be the wife that God calls you to be without having that humble relationship with the Lord that is thriving and growing. But here it is for children as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And children, listen to me. Did you know that there are 3 verses in the Bible that God wrote directly to you? They're right here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What that means is, children, you need to do what your mom and dad say with the right heart attitude. That's what obedience is. It's not going and doing what your parents told you to do while you are huffing and puffing under your breath. But it's humbly submitting to your parents as unto the Lord. What does that mean? It means that as you are obeying your parents, you are actually obeying the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You also are to honor your father and mother. The word honor means to consider really precious. So it's like that toy that you have been saving up for months and months and months to buy, and then your mom or dad take you to the store. Like I recently took one of my boys to the Lego store in Beechwood to buy what they had been saving up for. And that toy is to you precious. It's valuable, right? It's valuable because you know how long and how hard you worked to save for that toy. God says you should treat your mom and dad that way, as precious, as valuable. And this is the first commandment with a promise, God says. And what's the promise? The promise is verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. In other words, you follow God's word in this command, guess what? God says you will bring His blessing into your life. Obedient children have a promise from God, a promise of blessing. That's your responsibility, to obey your parents in the Lord and then to honor them. But there's also responsibility to parents, in particular, fathers. In chapter 6 and verse 4. In Colossians, we find parents used plural, but here we have fathers, and obviously mothers are not excluded from this command. He's not saying, fathers, don't provoke your children, but moms, have as much fun as you want, making your children angry. That's not what he's saying. So fathers, do not provoke your children. To provoke means to aggravate them, to incite anger. In other words, you need to understand that no one can make you angry. I know that you say that all the time to people. You say, you make me angry. Actually, you know what? No one makes you angry. Anger resides in your heart, according to James chapter 4. And anger resides in your heart. And when it comes out, it's a way of you saying, I have not gotten what I want. Give it to me now. Anger is a way that we manipulate one another. It's flowing out of our sinful heart. In fact, you can get people to do what you want them to do just by them being afraid that if they say something to you, you will get angry. So no one can make you angry. Anger flows out of your heart. And it's something that you need to repent of before the Lord. So the point here, though, is fathers, don't incite anger in your children. Don't provoke them. Don't play favoritism. Don't tease them incessantly. Yeah, have a little fun with them, sure. I mean, I think a father who doesn't tease probably doesn't have blood flowing through him, you know? But, I mean, just don't do it to the point where you are provoking your children, making them, inciting them to be angry or discouraged. Colossians says don't discourage your children. And you can discourage your children in many different ways. You can discourage your children by changing the rules every day. What's required in the home and what's acceptable in the home, what's not acceptable in the home. You can discourage them by changing the consequences of discipline. Most of the time, I think we just do it by being inconsistent, by being just human and either tired or lazy. Then we're not consistent as parents. The whole point is fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but do something else instead. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Understand that you have, as a Christian father, an incredible privilege and powerful position to be used for the good of the Lord as a vehicle for redemptive truth to be passed on to the next generation. As a challenge, dads, read Psalm 78 this week. In fact, make that your devotion every day this week. Read Psalm 78 and ask the Lord to show you from that psalm what He wants you to change in your life as a father. But what a great privilege we have to pass on the redemptive truth of the gospel. We do that through instruction, that is biblical instruction. We also do that through discipline, that is holding our children accountable to biblical standards and correcting them when it's necessary. And all of this, of course, falls within the mission of the church to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So here at Cornerstone, we understand that the family is most often the context in which the saving gospel is spread. That's why we believe in strengthening marriages. That's why we believe in training and equipping parents. But we need to understand that the family saves no one. You can be the most godly Christian parents as is possible in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that does not guarantee 100% that the gospel will spread to all of your children. See, it's not about marriage, it's not about family, it's about Christ and the big story of redemption. But understand that the family and the instruction of parents is most often the means by which God carries the truth from one generation to the next. So take your responsibility seriously, but don't think it's ultimately your work that turns the hearts of your children to Jesus. Your children's greatest need is the one that you are powerless to meet. Your children and my children need to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. We cannot cause that rebirth. However, we can and must be a faithful vehicle of the redemptive gospel that places it before their minds and their hearts, that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Does that make sense? Trying to strike a balance here to help you understand what your role is and what your role is not. See, it's not that we will all have perfect Christian families. It's not, this isn't also that we will pretend to be carbon copies of each other. The purpose of parenting is to glorify God by becoming a vehicle of redemptive truth. The redemptive truth of Jesus Christ. So parents, fathers, instruct your children in the ways of the Lord. Love them and nurture in them the truth of the gospel. But pray, 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 pray that God will turn their hearts to Him. Because that is something you cannot do. And what a comfort that is to us, isn't it? What a weight it takes off of our shoulders. I mean, this weight is enough, isn't it? I mean, I feel this weight enough, the responsibility. But what an enormous, unbearable weight it is for us to take on our shoulders also, that which doesn't belong to us, which is the salvation of our children. What I've really been trying to do for you this morning is help you to see that we are idolaters at heart. What that means is we even take all the good things that God has designed and given to us, and we have the tendency to turn them into idols, turn them into things that we worship. And this is most often revealed by our heart's affections and expectations. So in light of this sermon, how do your expectations for marriage and parenting need to change? Have you made an idol out of marriage? Is happiness and peace in your marriage more important than pleasing and glorifying Christ? If you're single, is finding a mate the most important thing, even more important than obeying the Lord and being fully devoted to Him? If it is, it's an idol. Have you made an idol out of your parenting goals? Have you made an idol out of your kids? Is keeping your kids happy more important than confidently loving and leading them in the truth of God? See, we need to realize this morning that there's only one who is worthy of our worship. There's only one who is worthy of our undivided ultimate devotion, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And through the earthly gifts that God has given to us, we have amazing opportunities to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us this morning that we are not ultimate. Our marriages are not ultimate. Our children are not ultimate. There's only one ultimate, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all glory and honor and power. And Father, we know that this redemptive story that we've been looking at for over a year now, from Genesis to Revelation, is this one unifying theme that you are the God of redemption who has loved us as sinners so much that you put into place a plan that would be carried through throughout biblical history. And you sent your only begotten Son to be the Redeemer, the one who would pay the price for our sins. And He would call sinners to Himself to make us His bride. And one day, we shall all gather together and worship this one who is worthy. Receive our worship, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Are your expectations for marriage or singleness or parenting in line with the truth of God's Word? Are you seeking to find in these earthly roles the joy and happiness and fulfillment that God designed to be found in Him alone? Remember, there's only one who is worthy of our worship. There is only one who is worthy of our undivided, ultimate devotion, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org. Our website contains many helpful resources, including books and blog posts written by Pastor Paul Tauchus. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. Please join us next time as we continue our series, From Garden to Garden, as we together delight in the Word.